first things first, is there any station out there with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Hey, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2 Tango Tango Tango. And for at least a few minutes, I'll be your net control. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association welcomes all radio amateurs licensed to operate the 2-meter band to participate in the net tonight. This is the technical net. Now, by technical, we mean anything dealing with amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, and anything in our lives or about our lives that's touched by those things, which is pretty much anything if you twist and bend it a little bit. So, we hope that you'll come and join us this evening. We check in an orderly fashion with the call sign, your name, and then we ask that you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, or both, or none of the above. Question, comment, both, or none of the above. If you don't have a question or comment, we still would like you to check in. It really does add value to the net, because that we kind of know what who's in our audience and who's participating, so we hope that you'll consider doing that. With that under our belts, we do this by call sign group. So, W's, any station that's call sign begins with a whiskey, please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or both, or none of the above. Please call K2 BAR. Okay, let's try Kilo 2 stations whose call signs begin with Kilo, immediately followed by 2. Please call K2 BAR. Would that be like K2 AMI?
K2 AMI is here.
Okay, very good, Tony, and I'm assuming you probably have a comment. So I'll just note that, and we'll move on. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay, any other Kilos? Okay, any other Kilos of any kind, please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, David, no questions, no comments.
Hi, David. Good evening to you. Any other Kilos? All right, how about Whiskeys again? Whiskeys? Okay, let's try November stations.
This is N2OEL. Two elaborate questions on related subjects.
Okay, Noel. Actually, I called you on your home number. You didn't answer, so I'm hoping you to take the net. All right, any other Novembers? All right, any other Alpha stations? All right, any other stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, very good. Well, since we have no further check-ins, I'm going to ask Noel his questions, and we'll start one question anyway. We'll go from there into OEL, W2TTT, K2BAR.
Okay, question number one. We're putting up an 80-meter loop in my QTH. It probably will not make much more than 250 feet because of the limitations of the geography, and I do not want to bring the loop anywhere near the power wires for two reasons. One is I don't want to electrocute myself, and two is they introduce a lot of noise into any receiving antenna. So with those two limitations, I'm going to be probably around 240 feet. So the Molly Park question is, I'm feeding it, oh, by the way, with the 16-gauge copper weld wire that I bought off the internet, 450 ohm twin lead, which is really good quality because my compatriots here had a really tough time cutting it, and finally they found that there was steel core wrapped with multiple layers of thin copper wire, so it appears to be reasonably good copying. Copper weld. In several locations around my yard, 8 exactly, come to think of it, but we're only going to be using 5 of them, are clothesline pulleys paint it with plastic primer, paint it flat black, put in at about the 40-foot level by the tree guys when they were cutting off tree branches and stuff, and each one of them is into a 3/8 threaded eye bolt or eye screw, whatever you want to call it, goes in that tree about a good 3 or 4 inches. Let me drop it for a second. And it has lines on it. The procedure we're following is to put a continuous loop up around this pulley and down that was introduced to me by our friend Jim K2ZO. Originally what I was doing is just putting a rough up over the pulley and straight out to the antenna. The problem with that is, of course, we don't have to have any tree climbers around. So if the rope breaks, I'm there on the ground with the pulley wheel of 40 feet in the air and no real way, safe way to get to it. So what Jim does is we have some nice polyester rope. I just got 1,000 foot of it. We're making messenger lines that go up through the pulley and down. And when we want to put a line, and this is the polyester, so it shouldn't rot away too fast. So when we want to put a line to the antenna, it goes up over the messenger line. I guess you put a piece of tape on it. And Tony will tell us how we did it, because Tony was standing there watching them. Up over, and that line was the one that's also going over the pulley, and that's the one that's going to pull the antenna and hold the antenna. And if it happens to break, we can still put another line up there. So, the first part of the question is, have you ever heard of that method?
I have, and it does seem to work, so what the heck? You know, one thing I did want to draw your attention to is that, you know, if you're worried about the length of your loop, you know, you can take a piece of ladder line, and I mean ladder line, I don't mean window line, I mean ladder line. Although you could use window line. But take a piece of ladder line and draw it downward to electrically extend, you know, one leg or the other to balance out the, you know, any inequities in your loop dimensions on one side or the other. You know, you can't do that, right?
What do you mean? In other words, at some spot of the loop, an arbitrary spot, say on the other side, halfway around, bring ladder line down and up again, so it goes down the ladder line one side and it short the bottom and it comes back up the other side?
You're a genius. Thank you.
Well, I think I need to, because I thought I could just tune 240, 250. Doesn't, you know, when you're using the alleged MFJ 3,000-watt tuner. Let's see what I have here. I actually got two alleged 3,000-watt tuners. One is MFJ differential T-tuner, 3kW roller conductor tuner, and I don't, there it is, MFJ 986. The other one is the MFJ VersaTuner V, 3kW series roller conductor, model MFJ 989. I figured I could just ignore the fact that it's not going to be exactly the 80 meter length and just use this and tune it with the ladder line.
I gotcha. That would work. Okay. Yeah, I think you're fine. Anybody else have a comment about Noel's antenna?
QBV Mobile on the Paladin, whatever it is, Garden State Parkway.
Hi, Joel. Welcome to the TechNet. Alrighty, you're welcome. You're in to enjoy the net. Though it's a really small community tonight. Alrighty. Anybody have any other comments for Noel regarding his loop?
K2AMI.
Tony, I'm going to ask that you take it from here, if you don't mind. I have, just send me an email with anybody who jumps in after Joel, okay?
Okie dokie. Very good, and enjoy the evening, and listen in case I need help. Anyway, guys, bear with me, and I'll try to continue. continue this discussion, but Gordon, you're on the free. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. If I haven't had dinner, my wife hasn't had dinner. We had to go shopping with number three son for festive activities that are pending in the immediate mode. 73 WTTD. I'll be listening.
73 is for now. Back to Noel, N2OEL, K2AMI, with the K2BAR tech net, assistant or temporary net control. So go ahead, Noel, one more time. Are you with me now? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're absolutely right in assuming that your tuner will compensate for the fact that you don't have a resonant length. That length that you've got will be compensated for other bands, not just the 80-meter band. You find that you can tune that loop for many bands with a decent antenna tuner. And you've got two decent antenna tuners, certainly because you're not running 3kW, but because you're running variable inductance and variable capacitance and a T-formation. So I wouldn't be concerned at all about extending it or shortening it or anything. As you know, you very well could take a length of wire, something over 20 feet, and tune it to any band. It doesn't work as efficiently as a resonant antenna, but no concern. You won't notice that much difference except for rare DX or weak signals. So just hang in there with what you got, and I'm sure it's going to work. Back to Noel.
Well, yeah, and I also understand that the loop may reduce. I got a lot of ambient noise here. When I listen to you guys on the 10-meter net on Monday at 375, I get a lot of background noise. It's driving me crazy. So it's my understanding that a loop, especially one that I keep away from the power line, should be much quieter by as much as 3S units. Tony, back to you.
All right, well, that ambient noise, if it's related to power line interference, it will be reduced. Man-made interference of that nature. But I think that most of your interference is coming from an overload signal from WABC down there in the Meadowlands. I can't operate my radio without the antenna tuner in place. So once you set the antenna tuner and set a resonant an antenna that does resonate with the tuner to the frequency you're tuned to, you will pretty much eliminate some of the overload that comes in from the WABC transmitters. I don't know if you'll need additional attenuation at that frequency of WABC, but that might be a need to put a trap on that frequency besides. If I don't run the antenna tuner and I try the radio without the tuner, it's impossible to clear out the ambient noise that's coming in as garbage from a WABC. Do you think it's WABC? I do.
Well, no, because I had so much trouble with my DX394 when I was listening to shortwave and ham. I invested in two high-pass filters. The cutoff frequency is about 1710, 1720, and by the time you get up to 1800, they're about 45, 50 dB down. By the time you're up to 1825, they're 60 or 70 dB down. They're made commercially. I bought them off of eBay quite some time ago, and what a difference. I have two of them. One has RCA jacks, and I use that one for receive only. And I don't know if you remember, I took both of them to Kid Night one time, and we took them apart, and they're multi-pole. There's got to be at least, 10 sets of capacitors, and 8 or 9 inductors inside of them. Very nicely made, too. The list price is well over $100, if you go on the website of the manufacturer. So, one is made for any transceiver up to 300 watts, and the other one is meant for just the receiver. There is no direct continuity through it. The input and the output are both through capacitors. So, and they look to be fairly hefty. They said, I think, 1,000 volts on the capacitor, so I suspect that they are, this is the one that's meant for transmitting. I expect that was so that the your peak voltages won't perforate it. And I still got one more question. Back to you.
I'm not clear on these filters that you do have, particularly the one that you can transmit through. Are you using that now on your transceiver?
No, I got to hook them back up. But no, I wasn't using them.
Okay, well, I would have them handy. And if you do find the ambient noise is present, I definitely would experiment with those filters and insert them in some way that you could within a short period of time, while you're listening to a condition, to put the filter in and then or take it out and see what the difference is. You don't have to do it with switching. You can do it with quick change if you're fast enough. In our location here, and again, River Edge and Maywood is basically the same location as far as the power level of the WABC, you're going to find that the filter will definitely be an advantage if the antenna tuner won't take out the noise. Anyway, back to your other question.
Okay, the other question is, we had problems pulling the antenna wire through a loop of just rope. The reason we had trouble pulling it through is the antenna wire was originally 12-gauge house wiring that I bought from Home Depot. So it's got an insulation called THNN, I guess it is, and it's got the black insulation, because I bought the black wire, and it's got, over top of that, a very thin plastic coating that's meant to allow you to pull the wire raceways and provide some easing of the friction. I guess the plain plastic would tend to stick, and this plastic coating allows you to pick it through. Very, very thin. It's almost like it was coated with saran wrap. Well, what happens is you put it up, and a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, the sunlight acts on the coating, and it starts looking like a snake is shredding its skin. The stuff will start hanging down off of your antenna wire. It makes it very noticeable and very, to the radio amateur, very bad. So what I did is I coated it with brown latex paint, the same stuff I'm using on the house. Well, the latex paint made it really hard to go through, the wire really hard to go through. Rachel came up with the idea with this plastic tubing I had. She bent it into, I guess she took about 8 or 10 inches of it, bent it into a circle, tied it with the rope, and we're pulling the wire through that. And then the question came up, would that deteriorate over time? Back to you, Tony.
I know that what she did, and I saw that it was plastic tubing, and it's kind of white in color, and I wonder what the ultraviolet light will do to that plastic tubing, whether it'll disintegrate it or not. Now, instead of a loop of that nature, I used a shackle, the kind of thing that they use when you're climbing with rope climbers up the side of a mountain, you know. I think the correct word is shackle. And I attached that to the rope and then ran the wire through the shackle. So I have a metal loop in all my corners. You might either keep that in mind, or if you want to at this time change the plastic loop to a metal loop, it might be a more permanent installation. However, I think you should stick with what you've got and see what the future holds. Back to you.
Well, I'm all set to finish it. I went on eBay and bought 1,000 foot of 360 Dacon polyester. It doesn't have the center core, it's just double woven, but it looks to me like it's the stuff that will be very abrasive resistant. It'll be able to slide over the tree branches in the two spots where I not have pulleys up, where I'm just simply I used your spud gun, in fact, to put the wire, the rope over. I think that they're about 60, 70 feet. What do you think?
Sure, I'm sure.
And then we're going to let the, what is it, hang down. It appears that, according, if you go to Televic site, it appears these loops do not do so good when you're really high. They seem to perform better in the 30 to 40 foot range, which is an advantage for me because I would have to shoot your spud gun over that beech tree and the sycamore's front yard and having to think land in the street or the neighbor's yard, which would be not fun. So anyway, that's what I'm going to do as my initial. I think that's the end of my questions. Back to Ness. This is S2OEL.
Okay, very good, Noel. Have you organized another date to finish the project?
No, but I'd like to get it done by a week from yesterday, 2 weeks from yesterday, because 2 weeks from yesterday is when I'm going back to work, officially.
Okay, well, keep me informed. One comment that I came up with, as you know, the end of the wire that we ran from the reel up to the first tree, over to the second tree, around to the back, and over to the third tree, is not quite long enough to reach the area over your operating room window. So my suggestion was to determine how much wire you will need off the roll, cut it, and then splice a piece of wire to the present end of the antenna and make it long enough to bring it over to the window, rather than try to fish that wire through all the supporting loops around the trees. I don't know whether you know what a Western Union splice is, but a Western Union splice is a very durable splice used typically for wiring on telephone lines and so forth, the major telephone lines. But if you use a Western Union splice and solder it, it'll be as good as the original wire, and you could add 40 feet of wire and then not worry about slipping the wire through all those loops. But you'll have to determine how much you'll need in order to finish the job. Think about that rather than try to snake the 40 feet through those loops at all the tree points. Back to you for comment.
Well, Sid gave me a good pint of that yellow slime that we used at Fairlawn to wire through the races. So what I was thinking of doing was sliming the wire and running it around. And in fact, what I was going to do is use the end of the part that's originally on the reel, because in the process of trying to pull it through those first few rope loops, we peeled off a lot of the paint. And again, I'm going to have the problem with the snakeskin hanging down. So that's why I was thinking of running it through and using the stuff on the end of the reel, then leaving the stuff, put it back on the reel, leave it outside for another few months to wash all that slime off, and then repaint the I might go through the whole line. I mean, just repaint it enough so that I will not have, because what I'm figuring is 2-3 years down the road, I'm going to have so many splices in that thing, I'm just going to put new wires up. So that's what I'm thinking of doing. Back to you, and to OEL.
You're making a big job out of a little job. Noel, the loop is only going to last a couple of years without major repair anyway, so don't make it too permanent. It's not going to be too permanent. And concerning the snakeskin pewing off the wire, mine now is up probably about 6 years, and it's still pewing the snakeskin off the wire. It'll come off no matter what you do to keep it on. However, a good rainstorm or a good ice storm, and a lot of it comes off, and it looks fine. So I'm not too concerned about the snakeskin coming off in my location. Anyway, let's just see if anybody else would like, is still listening. Any comments? K2AMI for the K2BAR TechNet and Noel. Looking for any other comments or questions or information. If you're out there with a comment, question, or information, please come now with your call sign.
K2BAR, this is Tour, KT2SQB with a question.
Good evening, Stuart, KT2SQP. I hope you've been listening, and if you'd like to insert a question at this time, it's a good spot to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, I think W2CPP was saying something about a solar battery he was looking into. Do you know anything about that? Back to the net.
No, I'm not familiar with his current project, but there are solar panels, and I think he had reference to a solar recharging system where he would use a solar panel and a couple of diodes and a combination so as to charge the battery. I think that's what he has in mind.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know whether you guys at Field Day have a solar powered station. I think George K2YOH has brought it over to you guys on occasions. Usually, Don Younger, the W2JEK, brings his little solar charge battery to our Field Day site. Now, during these sunny days in June now, he'll charge the battery and then bring the charged battery to the Field Day site and operate a QRP radio off the charged battery. He doesn't have a constantly recharging system for on-site charging, but he does charge the battery at home with his solar panel. And apparently Gordon wants to improve on that technique. Okay, again, this is K2AMI with the K2B AeroNet, looking for any further comments, questions, or anything to keep the net going. Anybody out there with information or comments, please come now with your call sign. Okay, if everybody sees fit at this time, we will close the Baronet. And TechNet, because of lack of questions and activity. And I had only a couple of comments from the Barrow organization, and that is, please look forward towards May 23rd. Now, of course, this weekend is Mother's Day weekend. And just, guys, remember, if Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. So make Mama happy this weekend. Do what you have to do. Then there's a week off, and the following week is May 23rd, and that Sunday, May 23rd, will be the Barra Fox Hunt, and I'm the fox. You're going to have to find me, and I'm not going to be as difficult to find as we have some of the foxes in recent history. It will be a learning experience, not a hunting experience, so come on down and try to find the fox. Excuse me a moment. And then continuing that weekend, 23rd to Saturday, which will be the 29th, is the Barra Ham Fest. It'll be at the Westwood High School parking lot, May 29th. Excuse me again. I need a drink, and I don't have one here. So please devote some time to helping Barra or coming to the Barra Ham Fest, enjoying it. A few prayers in the direction of clear weather would be appreciated. We don't like to have rainy days for our ham fest. And then in June, we'll have things that we'll be more informed about, but there'll be a VHF contest and the Field Day experience. And I see by the ARO website, they already are selling very nice dark blue Field Day t-shirts. They're not white this year, they're blue, which is a very sensible color to me. I probably have 3 blue sweatshirts and about 4 blue t-shirts with various logos on them. And to have a blue Field Day t-shirt is an excellent idea. I probably will buy one or two. So look into the ARO website for the Field Day t-shirts that are out. You can also get a Field Day pin if you want. Last year, Barra bought Field Day pins for those who attended Field Day. And I don't know if we're going to do that again this year. We're definitely not going to buy t-shirts. We might buy the pins. That'll be a sub-decision by the president. Anyway, that concludes the current announcement from Barra. I know that on that, the VHF, on the flea market weekend, there will be VE testing on the morning of the 29th of May. probably from 8 to 10 o'clock in the school building in the parking lot, next to the parking lot for the flea market. So anybody who would like to take exams, or if you know anybody who would like to take exams, have them come over on Saturday morning, the 29th. See Don Younger and his crew, and they'll get an examination. Okie doke. I'm sorry, maybe I should insert one more thing, and it's coming up also May 20th. There will be an explanation and a demonstration of D-Star radio. This will be over at the Fairlawn Senior Center in Fairlawn on May the 20th. Timing and details are available, although I'm not handy with my hands right now, but stay tuned and you can find out coming up what the timing will be on as far as what time the program will start, but I suppose like 7 o'clock on May the 20th. There will be a demonstration and explanation of D-Star, which should be very informative for the future of two-meter radio and FM radio. And it's a little ways off yet, but it's coming. And I think that's all I've got. Anybody wish to add any additional comments or information, please come now. Well, we'll thank Gordon for turning the net control over to Tony. I appreciate it. And we'll let everybody have a pleasant evening, a great day. The weather's been fantastic. And this is the end of the Bergen Amateur Radio TechNet for Thursday night tonight. And we'll see you again, probably along the way, and definitely next Monday night, when we do have a 10-meter net, and next Wednesday night when we have our regular 2-meter night on the 7-9 repeater in Paramus. Don't forget also there for the ladies, there is a Wednesday night Bert Barra Babes net. So that's it. Good night all. K2AMI is closing the TechNet.